Just as I thought about this, I just wanted to make a few observations about the idea of hope in this text and characteristics of biblical hope, or the person who walks in biblical hope, or the person who actually even has biblical hope. So you meet a lot of people today that may say they have hope in a lot of things, but they want some kind of hope for something in the future that they don't have yet, but they don't really have anything to base that hope on other than just their own self, their own person, or their own ideas. So I just wanted to look at this hope that we have, and not everyone has this hope, obviously, and so some want the hope of heaven, but they want that in the future, but they don't want anything to do with Christ in the present. But we see here in this text that the hope that we can have is just vitally tied to who Christ is. The first thing I want to notice is that a person only has biblical hope if they have received salvation through Christ. So it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope." And so for a person to have biblical hope, a person must be born again. They must be regenerated. They must have received Christ in salvation. They must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that God has actually caused them to be born again, caused us to be born again to this living hope. He's the initiator. He's the active agent in this. He's the one that aggressively pursues those that are regenerated. He's the one that has worked in our life. Regardless of our running from him or opposing him, he is powerful and was powerful to move towards and initiate regeneration. He caused us to be born again in Christ into this living hope. So one must be regenerated. One must be born again. One must be in Christ in order to have this hope. And it's all caused by God. We know that Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Romans 8, many passages talk about the God who is powerful to work this salvation in us. But I want to notice also that the one who has this hope is going to recognize that he didn't deserve God's favor. It says in verse 3, according to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope. And so the person that has this hope, based in Christ, recognizes that he didn't deserve it, he didn't earn it, he didn't somehow demand God's favor on him. It was by God's mercy. It was according to his great mercy that he can have this hope. And that's very encouraging to me, to know that this hope is in the steadfast faithfulness of God towards us. That's why we can have this hope. But notice also that biblical hope is grounded in a person. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. So it's grounded in a person. It's not only the cross, but it's the resurrection. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the cross and the resurrection, the person of Christ, that we have this hope. And it's interesting that he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the ruler. He's the master. And the person that has this hope recognizes that he is the master. He's the ruler. He's the Lord. But he's also the Christ. He is the promised one that was to come. So we can have that confidence. Our hope can be grounded in the fact that he is the fulfillment of the one that was to come. And he is the Lord, the master of our regeneration, of our salvation. It's also based on a promise. It says that we were born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ to an inheritance that is imperishable. So it's based on a promise, an inheritance that's promised to us. It won't perish. It won't fade away. It's kept for us. And so God, that comes from God himself. He makes us alive in Christ. He promises us an inheritance. So our hope is not based on anything we've done. It's based on what God has said we will have in Christ. And it has an eternal perspective. It is kept in heaven. It is forward thinking. It's ahead of us. It's already done in Christ. We already have it. We have yet to possess it. And it's kept for us. It's secure in God. So the hope is strongly based in what God has done. But notice also it's a living hope. It's a living hope. We have this vital expectation, confident expectation of what God promises will come about. And it impacts daily living. Our biblical hope, our view of the eternal hope that we have, what awaits us, should affect the way we live today. If you look at verse 8, these people, the ones that are saved, regenerated, that have this hope, it says, though we have not seen him, we love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith. So it affects the way we live. This hope we have that's founded and grounded in Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection affects how we live our life with God and with one another. And also, I noticed that the one who has biblical hope is joyful. And it talks about that in verse 6. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, as was necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Well, in this, what is in this? In this is all that was before it, the hope that we have. The living hope that's founded in Jesus Christ that is guaranteed for us, and it's guarded by the power of God in verse 5. And so this joy is not a giddiness, or it's not even necessarily absence of being sad. It's a confident expectation that everything God said, everything God promised, everything God did is true and will take place in our life. He's fulfilling his promises to us right now, even though what we face right now may not be easy. And what we face right now may cause sadness, may cause grief. People lose loved ones. I think just recently, John Tuttle passing and Regina facing that absence, her husband being gone. It's a time of grieving, time of loss. I just visited Henry Weinert this morning, and he is hoping to go home, but he just really has been weakened tremendously by the fever and the infection he had, and just very much more frail than what he was before. And yet, he has joy. He has joy. We were praising the Lord this morning and thanking God this morning because his hope doesn't lie in his frail condition and whether he can get past that. He knows what lies ahead of him, and it's grounded in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that as this joy flows from biblical hope, it's a joy that is spiritual. It's not worldly. If we look to the world to have joy in our life, we're going to be disappointed. But the joy that we have is the joy that's grounded and founded in Christ. And in verses 3 through 5, I think that is it's based on past facts. It's based on what has happened. Christ has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given his life. He has raised from the dead. It's based on past facts. It's displayed in the present. Verse 5, we're kept by the power of God. And verse 7, it will not perish, it will not fade, it will not pass away. And this joy also looks to the future. Verse 4, we have an inheritance. Even if you go a little bit further to verse 13, it says to prepare our minds for action, be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. Now, we've been learning in Sunday school that God has no past, present, or future. He doesn't function in the past, present, or future. But we do. We do. And he speaks to us in ways that we look at the scripture and we say we can rejoice and have great hope in the fact that Christ has done a work for us. He is doing a work in us. And he will glorify us. He regenerates us. He justifies us. He sanctifies us. And he'll glorify us. He'll take us to heaven. He's promised that. He said that in the scripture. And in these times right now, it's just helpful for me to look at this and say, you know, my hope is based on what he says in the scripture and not on everything I see around me. And that's a great comfort to me. And I just, as I thought about it this afternoon, I thought, I've been reading in Matthew and Isaiah and Proverbs, and I've been reading in 1 Peter. And I thought, this passage, just as a reminder, might be an encouragement to you as we're 30-some days out from a crazy election, and who knows where all that's going to go. But we know that God's still on his throne. He still is steadfast to his promises, faithful, and he will bless us as he's blessed us in the past, and he'll take us all the way home, no matter what. So that's a great encouragement to all of us.